Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ. Now, just by show of hands, and don't be bashful, how many of us here are surprised that Jesus forgives? None of you are surprised by that? Huh. That's amazing. Now, why aren't most of us surprised that Jesus forgives? Well, I'll tell you why. Because that's what he does. Right? That's what Jesus does. Like a doctor is, what they're supposed to do is treat and make patients get well, not to make them dead unless you're Kevorkian. But Jesus forgives. That is what he does. Well, as I promised, this Lenten season, we'll focus on each of the last words that Jesus said on the cross. And as we read in the Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter, the first of his seven statements from the cross is about forgiveness, the very thing that Jesus does. Now, the question is, what did Jesus mean when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing"? Well, we'll have to recall what happened to him. That the Roman soldiers tortured the man, abused him, and ended up nailing his hands and feet to the cross. And these soldiers did not realize that Jesus was really a king, the king of all kings. They didn't know. Not only that, but the religious leaders of his day didn't realize, or didn't want to realize, to be more clear, that Jesus was really the Son of the living God. So, the question though is, did their ignorance about Jesus make their sin forgivable? Is that why Jesus forgave them of their sin? Because they didn't know? No. Ignorance is not innocence. Yes, I know we have a saying, ignorance is bliss. Yeah, but ignorance is not innocence. If you have committed a crime, whether you knew it or not, you committed a crime. Otherwise, if ignorance is innocence, then there is no need for Jesus to have forgiven, to ask for forgiveness of those who got him nailed to the cross. But even though they didn't know what they were doing, even though they didn't know that what they were doing was wrong, they were still on the hook for their sins. And hence, Jesus' plea for forgiveness of them. How many sins have you committed in ignorance? Could be that you didn't know and you managed to somehow hurt another person's feelings. You didn't know. You didn't know those words are going to cut deep into their hearts. You didn't know that the joke you told, that ethnic joke that you told in the company of several others, you didn't know that that was going to rub people the wrong way or offend and hurt and cause all kinds of rifts and divisions and all kinds of issues. How many sins have you committed out of ignorance, knowing fully well that ignorance is not innocence? Well, forgiveness is what Jesus came to do. That is what he is all about. Forgiveness is an important issue in the Gospels. There's over 50 mentionings of forgiveness in the New Testament Gospels. Now, we all know that Jesus is most known for his amazing miraculous healing powers and how he's able to give sight to the blind and make the deaf hear and make the dead even rise back to new life. We all know that he's amazing at those miraculous things. But the most important healing miracle that Jesus did is off of forgiveness of sins. There's a story in Matthew chapter 9 where a paralytic, a man who's been crippled since birth, comes in contact or encountered Jesus, and Jesus tells him, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." He did not heal him. He did not do his usual amazing, miraculous healing episodes. Instead, he declared the forgiveness of sins on the young man. So I would say that if there is one thing that we need more than anything else from God, if there's one thing that we need more than anything we think we need from God, and that is to be forgiven. That is forgiveness. Why? Well, it all depends on your definition of forgiveness. What is forgiveness? What does forgiveness mean to you? Now, if you look it up in the dictionary, forgiveness means to release someone from a legal action or moral consequence. It means to cancel out a debt in full, to set someone free from a requirement or obligation. But the definition of forgiveness that I particularly like and I adhere to is this: to forgive is to stop seeking revenge against those who've done you wrong. That's what forgiveness is. It is to stop us from seeking to pay back those who did us wrong. So given this definition of forgiveness, aren't we glad, aren't we thankful that Jesus took the opportunity, despite the pain and the agony that he was in hanging from the cross? Aren't we glad that he took the opportunity to pray to God so that God would stop seeking his vengeance on us for the sins that we've committed? That is what Jesus did. He prayed to his Father, despite the fact that, in fact, if it's amazing to me, despite the pain and the agony that he was in, that he took the time to pray. And not pray for himself, but pray for those who got him on the cross to begin with. And prayed that his heavenly Father would not do what God does best, wreak wrath on sinners. Jesus asked for forgiveness so that God would stop seeking vengeance on those who got his one and only Son tortured and died on the cross. This Lenten season is a good time to think and ponder on the significance of that. What would have happened if Jesus did not ask God to stop seeking vengeance on those who got him crucified? It would have been disastrous, not only for those Roman soldiers and the priests and the religious leaders of his days, but everyone who has ever committed sin against God, including you and I. What would have happened to us? Again, think about this for a moment. Jesus is hanging there on the cross, struggling to draw air into his lungs. Lungs which were probably filled with lip fluid and blood for having been beaten. And several ribs probably have been broken from the amount of torture that he suffered. And to be nailed to the cross and each breath drawn in is one pain after another. With such pain and agony, he still had the presence of mind not to concern himself about his state of being, but had compassion, had sympathy for those who got him on the cross to begin with, those who had just whipped and mocked him, those who were at that very moment playing a game to divide up his clothing. Now, again, like I said, I don't know about you, but had I been in Jesus' place, I would have prayed, all right. I would have prayed. First, I would have prayed that God will ease my pain and relieve this agony, this misery that I'm on the cross. That would have been my first prayer. It would have been about me. Then secondly, I would have asked my Father in heaven to do what these people deserved for getting me on the cross. That would have been me. Aren't you glad I ain't your Jesus? But not so with Jesus. Instead, we find him doling out compassion in the midst of his agony. He still found a way to show mercy, compassion, by asking for forgiveness so that God would not rain down holy terror on all those who got him on the cross. That includes us. You know, these days, of course, we're so quick to become resentful, become angry, offended so easily, and get bitter at the one word or one action of another. And immediately we calculate in our mind, how do we get back to them? How do we put them in their place? How do we exact justice for us? We secretly plot vengeance and seek the downfall of those who did us wrong. And then we see Jesus, who was not only insulted and cursed at, but was physically beaten, and yet he prayed for forgiveness. So, dear friends, for the remainder of this week and into the early part of next week until we meet again next Wednesday, I highly encourage you to think on this, to ponder, to reflect on Jesus' prayer for forgiveness for us. Those sins that we commit, known and unknown to us, ignorant or knowledgeable of, those sins that we're still culpable for, ponder on what it means that Jesus stopped his Father from carrying out his vengeance toward you. Ponder on that for the remainder of this week and into next week until we meet again. I mean, if Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, then we, as his disciples, as his followers, ought to have the same love and compassion that ought to flow out of us unto others, even unto our enemies. As followers of Jesus, we're also to have compassion even unto those who curse us, who slander us, who mistreat us. But you know, it's only possible. This is only possible through a miracle of God's indwelling Holy Spirit. To be able to forgive those who've done us wrong is only possible with the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you a story. Some years ago, I read a story back that took place in 1991. A 17-year-old girl named Mary Curry from a little village of Damour, Lebanon, in the Middle East. She and her family were dragged outside their homes and made to kneel in front of their homes by a radical Islamic fanatic group. These Islamic fanatic groups' goal was to convert everyone to be Muslim. If they refused, they would be dead. And so Mary saw her father being shot to death right before her eyes, her mother being shot to death, her sister decapitated before her death, because they all refused to convert to Islam. And then he came to her. And the leader of the radical Islamic fanatic said to her, "I see you wearing a golden necklace with a cross on it. You must be like them, a Christian." And for a 17-year-old, she said, "Yes, I was baptized a child of God, and I will not disobey him, so shoot me already." In that instant, she was shot. She fell on the ground. 2 days later, the Red Cross came to that village and discovered everyone died except for Mary. Somehow, she was able to still be alive. The gunshot, the bullet that hit her, somehow severed her spinal cord and caused her to be paralyzed from the neck down. But she lived. So after some some treatment and so forth, she resolved to do one thing in life. An interview was given, and she said, "I can't marry, I can't do any physical labor, but I could do one thing. I will offer myself to the Muslims. I will spend the rest of my life praying for them." That can only happen through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in us. Without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, that kind of sentiments will likely resolve in act of vengeance in the name of seeking justice. Jesus modeled for us what it means to be able to be compassionate and to love even our enemies by offering forgiveness, by stopping our search, our desire, our interest in exacting vengeance on them and just leaving it to rest. Now, forgiveness is an interesting idea because most of us, we offer forgiveness with strings attached. And sometimes with chains attached, we attach ourselves to it. Jesus didn't do that. What I mean by forgiveness with strings attached is this. Someone did us wrong and we say, "I'm not going to forgive them unless they come to me and confess and repent before me." That's forgiveness with the strings attached. What if they never come? What if Jesus on the cross expected the Roman guards and the high priest to come to him for repentance before he forgave them? That would have never happened. Jesus would have hung on that cross for a very long time. we as people of God are to offer forgiveness with no strings attached, no chains attached. The chain is basically we attach ourselves to that act that was done to us and won't let go, and it won't let go of us, dragging us down, both physically and spiritually, emotionally, and otherwise. As people of God, modeled by Jesus, our sovereign Lord, we are to forgive, no strings attached. Yes, if the person comes back and apologizes, by all means, all the better. But we're to forgive with no strings attached. Forgive, leave it, let it rest without any effort of trying to seek vengeance or payback or retaliation. Whoever said Christianity is for those who are weak and meek, they don't know what they're talking about. Christianity is for, it's not for the weak and meek. It is a full contact sport. And it engages with the power of the Holy Spirit to transform first ourselves and those around us. As we go through the remainder of this season, Jesus, even on his last moment on the cross, have a great deal to teach and has modeled a great deal for us. Next Wednesday, we will look at his response. We will look at his response to one of the thieves that was hung on the cross next to him. That truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Again, I invite you to come on back. Until then, ponder, reflect, pray on what it means for Jesus to have stopped his Father from exacting his wrath on you, on us, and allows us to be his beloved children, his brothers and sisters. Amen.